إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى in سورة البقرة Allah سبحانه وتعالى said the meaning of the ayat, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى the ayat itself, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Meaning of which is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is possible that there is something that you love. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا, whether it is possible, it is possible that there is something that you dislike. فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, but in that there is khair, there is benefit for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا, and it is possible that you love something. فَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ, but there is shar for you, there is evil for you in that thing. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and Allah said, Allah is the one who knows and you do not know. So I remind myself and you that this life of this world is a life of deception. It's a life which presents before us various scenarios which are not necessarily what they seem to be. And we'll look at one type today and another type tomorrow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا, it is possible that you have karaha, you have something, you dislike about something, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, but in that there is khair for you, but in that there is benefit for you. So in this world we are faced with what we consider to be difficulties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there is benefit for you in it. I was recalling yesterday, we went to visit various relatives for Eid. And in two places I overheard these conversations where people were complaining about fasting and saying that how difficult it was and how by the end of the day they were almost dead with loss of energy and so on and so forth. And I am sitting there trying to keep a control on my tongue, and hopefully and mercifully I was able to do that, thinking to myself that here is a bunch of people. I mean, how unfortunate and stupid is that? Here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening the doors of Jannah for you, closing the doors of Jahannam for you, giving you the value of ibadah for your sleep, converting, multiplying everything by 70, all your deeds, and so many things, all the benefits. And you forget all that, and then you complain about how difficult it was and how you were losing energy. And every single one of them I saw was bursting at the seams with, you know, the goodness of life. So I don't know what energy they lost. But anyway, the point of the matter is, here is something that they, I mean, first of all, to express dislike about the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really kufran ni'mat, which is like serious trouble. But I mean, look at this. I mean, this is the sense. Similarly, in other ways, for example, one of the common things we have is various kinds of illnesses and so on and so forth that happen to us. And they have, some of them are related to age. Some of them you just have to wait to grow long. If you live long enough, you will get it. So that some of them are like that. Degenerative diseases and so on and so forth. Some of them are not that way, but they are, you know, chronic things. I mean, like headaches and migraines and various things. Now, naturally, nobody prays for it. Nobody should pray for it. And of course, when it happens, I mean, I used to have migraines for a long time, for many years. And I know how bad it is. So when it happens, it is very bad. It is extremely painful and so on. But also, the thing to remember, which we forget, is that in that time of pain is the time for acceptance of dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically and specially pays attention to the du'as of those who are afflicted by things, by His decree, when they are making sabr. So there is this pain, whatever that pain is, because of various, you know, health issues. But because of the pain, if you have sabr, if you don't complain about it, and you complain only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it, and you make dua, then that's a special time of acceptance of dua. And as I told you, we don't have to ask for that kind of acceptance of dua. But if it comes, we didn't ask for it, but it happens. I mean, you know, you say, well, no fault of yours. Sure, fair enough, no fault of yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to reward you, that's a different matter. But that is the time for acceptance of dua. So also any kind of loss, whether it is monetary loss or whether it's any other kind of loss. And of course, not to say that one must not take steps to alleviate that, whether it is health issue, so obviously one must take steps to alleviate that, you know, take medicine and so on and so forth. Also, if there is financial loss and so on, then naturally you must assess why that loss happened. Because if it happened because of some, you know, bad planning on your part or bad implementation on your part, then obviously that needs to be corrected. But sometimes there is no bad planning and so on and so forth. The market collapses or something happens. You know, it's not something in your hand. And these losses happen. So even if, whether it's your fault in a observable sense or not, the fact remains that this loss happened. Now what do you do at that time? So once again, the issue of sabr and the issue of understanding the khair behind it, that there is this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed this for you because He knows what is the benefit. That's why Allah, Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows what is the benefit in it. And what is it, and that you do not know this. Allah knows this and you do not know this. So in the loss there is benefit for you. And of course the proof, if one wants proof for the ayat of Allah, is another ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to test us. He promised to test us. He said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah gave bashara to the people who have sabr. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and He said that we will test you with fear and hunger and loss of life and loss of health and loss of wealth and so on. But there is glad tidings and good news for the people who have sabr. Wabashshir as-sabireen. And Allah described who are these people. They are the ones who say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from Allah and we to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. Our return, the return of our material wealth, we don't, it doesn't belong to us. So what doesn't belong to us, we can, you can feel happy if you have it, but if you lose it, you can't really feel unhappy because it wasn't yours in the first place. So where is the question of feeling unhappy? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمٍ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُقْتَدُونَ. This thing alone is sufficient. Allah says, in the ones who have sabr, at that time there is صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. Allah sent salam on those people. Now if you just think about this, the idraq of this salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while I am suffering in my migraine or my health or whatnot or loss of wealth, if I have sabr and I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, Ya Allah, this is from you, Allah. And I treat it like that, instead of moaning and groaning and complaining to the world, by all means take steps to alleviate it. Nobody says don't eat medicine, by all means eat medicine, do what you want, but complaining to the world anyway doesn't help. So the headache won't go away because if you, or whatever it is, won't go away if you tell the whole world about it. So what's the point in telling the world about it anyway? But if you don't do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah sends salam on those people. What is the value of the salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why I keep reminding myself and you, we should learn to live thoughtfully. Not live like robots, without any sense. You know, live thoughtfully. Think about every instant, every moment. And say, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending salam on me. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayyub alayhi salam, that he was afflicted by all of these things together at the same time. Loss of wealth, loss of health, loss of life, loss of children, loss of position in society, everything. I mean, imagine Ayyub alayhi salam's trials that were there, that Allah mentioned them in the Quran. And it's interesting to see, to note that about all the Anbiya, the one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned was their da'wah. All of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about their da'wah. Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about their da'wah. But with Ayyub alayhi salam, Allah did not mention da'wah at all. The only thing about Ayyub alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned was his sabr. Allah did not mention Dawa with respect to Ayyuvah sir. He just mentioned his sabr. He was a man who had sabr. So in all these losses, and Allah never gives all the losses together to anybody. And to the best of my knowledge, Ayyuvah alayhi salam was the only one who had all of these losses together at the same time. But what do we know about him? We know that he did not complain. We know that he did not even make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this. He didn't even complain to Allah about this. Until his tongue started to get affected, and even that his dua is so beautiful. He says, oh Allah, do not allow this thing to happen to me so that I stop making your zikr. This is interfering with my zikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then alleviated all of that suffering. He reversed everything for him and so on and so forth. So now this is the story of Ayyub alayhi salam. That there was the man who was affected by all of this. And yet the only thing he finally asked Allah about was, Ya Allah, don't give me something which does not allow me to do zikr of yours. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of the hadith, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody asked Ayyub alayhi salam, they said, what was the happiest moment of your life? He said, the happiest moment of my life was when I was in the middle of all my pain and suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to ask me, Ayyub, how are you? Allah used to ask me specifically, how are you? He said, that was the moment of greatest happiness for me. How are you? Because the Anbiya were able to see what is behind this suffering. This suffering is dunya. And not only the Anbiya. Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, when they asked him once, what was the happiest moment of your life? He was, after the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was in Iraq. Somebody asked him there, he said, in your whole life, what was the happiest moment of your life? He said, the happiest moment of my life was when I used to be put without my shirt. I used to be thrown onto the burning sand, and Umayyah bin Khalaf used to put a huge rock on my chest, or he would drag me in with this rock on this weight, and he would tie a rope to my legs, and he would drag me in the sand, and I would say Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad. That was the best moment of my life. So they asked him, why did you say Ahadun Ahad? He said, to infuriate Umayyah bin Khalaf. He used to get very angry when he heard Ahadun Ahad. Now imagine what kind of thinking is that. Here is a man who's torturing him. And Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, instead of, what would anybody do if somebody is torturing him? He said, no, this guy is torturing me. Let me not offend him anymore. Let him not get angry anymore. Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu was the opposite. He said, let him get angry more because he is torturing me for something which is false. So he used to say, he used to shout Ahadun Ahad because he said that used to infuriate him more. Now obviously that resulted in more suffering for him. The man used to whip him, he used to do all kinds of things, torture him. But Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu said, that was the happiest moment of my life because I felt closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment. Once again, because he was able to see the khair behind that, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. So whenever we have difficulties or afflictions and so on, or rather which we consider to be difficulties and afflictions, we must try to see the khair behind it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I finally want to end with this. Many years ago when the Bosnian massacres and the Bosnian genocide was happening, I used to live in America at that time, and we used to go and try to help out with the Bosnian refugees who had come to America and they were given asylum there. So I remember going to my sheikh once after we had just been to the Bosnian camp, and we saw in that particular place there were about 300 women and there were two men, just two men. So when we first went there, this whole place is filled with women, women of all ages and sizes, and there were just two men. So we said, where are the men? Where are your husbands and brothers and all that? They said, they were all killed. All the men were just separated and killed. Just out of it, just like that. Just shot dead. And only the women were left. And many of them had been abused and all kinds of things. May Allah protect them. And I remember asking my sheikh, I said, sheikh, we know that there is khair in everything. But what is the khair in this? All these men got killed. And he said, ask them. And I remember listening to one of the sisters when we were sitting there. She said, She was telling us about the times. And she said, we were just like them. She said, there was no difference between us and the serfs. She said, we ate what they ate, we drank what they drank, we also drank alcohol, we also ate pork, we did everything. She said, we married their people, they married our people. There was absolutely no difference whatsoever. We were completely assimilated in the society. There was no difference between us and the serfs. Yet when this thing came, they picked us out and they slaughtered us. I mean, they said the only thing we knew that we are Muslim. That's it. He said, we never prayed, we never fasted, we never did anything. The only thing we knew that we were Muslim. So I asked Sheikh, I said, what is the story? He told me, he said, did you hear what the sister said? I said, yes. He said, tell me what would have happened to those people if they had died a natural death. Somebody who never prays, never fasts, he does all haram and he dies a natural death, where do you think he's going? Whereas the same person was selected and picked out because he was Muslim and he was killed. So now he is shaheed fi sabilillah. So was this a good thing for them or a bad thing for them? Also, the ones who were left behind, they woke up to the reality. So I listened to his explanation. I said, alhamdulillah, inshallah, this sounds like a good explanation. But I wasn't sure until many years later. I was teaching a course in Malaysia. And one of the brothers there was a Bosnian. And in the course of that teaching, I mentioned this story. And after the course, he came to me and he said, you know, what you said is exactly right. He said, absolutely 100% back on. He said, that was our situation. We were like that, and this explanation is the absolutely correct explanation. That what Allah did for us was, alhamdulillah, for our good. He said, we would have died anyway. Everybody dies. So we would have died anyway. But if we had died in that state, in a completely, totally disconnected state with Islam, with Allah, no connection whatsoever, we would have gone to Jahannam. There's no way that anything else could have happened. So yeah, the reason I'm saying this is not because we ask for these things. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe from all kinds of shar, from all kinds of evil, from all kinds of genocide and killing and so forth. And we ask Allah to protect the Muslims wherever they are from whatever trials and tribulations they are facing. So this is not to say that there is anything that we want this thing to happen. No, but at the same time, if it happens, if it is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one must be able to look at it from the perspective of the kalam of Allah. That's the reason why we have the Quran. So it opens our eyes to things which normal people don't see. And that is the khair behind the difficulty. Otherwise the difficulty tends to, you get very depressed with this thing. Daily something is happening and how long can I put up with this and how long can I bear this? And all of this, these thoughts, over negativity, then it poisons the whole of your life. Nothing seems to be nice. But that is not the case. That is not the case. There is a great khair in that. We ask Allah to protect us from all kinds of trials because we are weak. But if there is a trial, then it's very important to understand that there is all kinds of khair in this trial. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll look at the other side of it, of the shar in the bounties of Allah. Or rather, what seems to be the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no shar in the actual bounty, but there's shar in the dunya. So, to keep that in mind, that alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala biyadhi al-khair, in the hands of Allah is only khair. So whatever comes from the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah there is khair in it. We ask Allah to open our eyes to it, to help us to see that, and to maximize the benefit of whatever trial we are in. We didn't ask for it, but when it happens, we maximize the benefit of it by making a lot of dua, by having sabr, by feeling the benefit and feeling the pleasure and power of the salawat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu wa rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised his rahmah and the mercy of Allah for that person. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And Allah said, these are the people who are rightly guided. Who? The people who in trial and tribulation have sabr, they don't complain, and they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to make us among them. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ رَحْمَةً.